دایی یه فرصت خوب، حالا پشت مدافع، خدا داد عزیزی توی دروازه گل، گل برای ایران، خدا داد عزیزی باز هم روی زمین
گشت سردارات بود و توی دروازه سردارات بود، گل به نام آزمون برای ایران
بزنه کریم انصاری فر توی دروازه کریم انصاری فر دروازه پرتغال باز شد
علی دایی صاحب توپ توی دروازه
گل اشتباه حرکت از کوچان نژاد فرصت برای کوچان نژاد توی دروازه گل برای ایران.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Go Bazan. My name is Sina. I'm joined by Aria and Daniel. Good to see you both. How are you both doing?
Good to be back on, Sina. Back to covering the national team after the Asian Cup. Let's see how we get on.
Hello, guys. Feeling well, too, after an emotional Asian Cup.
Yeah, the last time Daniel and I recorded, the episode we recorded was the Asian Cup, the conclusion of the game. And yeah, it was a very emotional recording. And I guess now we've had a couple of months to sort of like think about it. And now we're going into sort of World Cup qualification against Turkmenistan. I guess before we go into the squad, it'd be good to talk about, I guess, Aria, getting your take on the Asian Cup, given, I guess, Daniel and I spoke about it on the last podcast. What are your sort of like thoughts about Asian Cup very briefly, and then sort of going forward into the next sort of phase of Team Medley after that major tournament?
Yeah, I think it was interesting when Galinoy came out and said, you know, he's looking to bring a young team in for this next round of World Cup qualification. The Asian Cup was not successful because obviously the goal was to win it, and we didn't do that, and we lost to Qatar. In not a good fashion. I think the way we played in that game, it kind of just proved that we haven't really progressed as a national team over the last few years. From a mental standpoint, defensively, things were not going right for us, and I think we deservedly lost that game. To be honest with you, I think Qatar were the better team that day, scored some great goals. So, I think it was time for Galinoy to come out and say that, and he stuck to his word. So let's see how it goes. Hopefully it's not just a one-off where he's just calling up players for this camp and then he'll drop them and bring back the old guard, whether it is this or whether it is going to be these players going forward plus more coming in the next few months. No, it's a good change to see that this squad is younger.
Yeah, I guess like given that Daniel and I were there, I think like we emotions were very high the last podcast, and I think given we've had a bit of time to think about it, I think Qatar was right to win that game. I think we should have, but it was on us. Like we didn't perform to the best of our ability. The tournament was there for us to win. I definitely stand by what I was saying, I guess like 2 months ago or so. It is nice we're seeing younger players in this team. We'll talk about it in a second, but yeah, it's still an emotional game. Like it still sits badly with me. Since I got back to England, I'm not sure about you, Daniel, but I haven't watched much football like at all, because it's just been something that, you know, we were watching so many games in the Asian Cup, and it was just like, I don't know, sort of fell out of love with it for a bit.
Yeah, me too, actually. The win against Japan was something really unique to experience, and then the loss against Qatar was a lot too emotionally. We had the opportunity to watch a lot of games, even other games than Iran. So yeah, of course, going back and not following for a few weeks all the European leagues and etc. It's not easy to just go back and settle in.
Mm. And I think we're at a phase now with the national team where it's a pivotal period in terms of bringing. Everyone thought this was going to come anyway, regardless if we won the tournament or we didn't win the tournament. Is we've got older players that have been transitioned out, and we've got younger players that are being transitioned in. And yeah, so let's dive into the team, because there's been some new additions, some you know, new caps, which is nice to see. So let's start with the goalkeepers. You've got pretty much like no surprises. The only one that sort of comes in is I don't want to mispronounce, but Arsha Shakuri, new goalkeeper. But like the other three, Behramand, Nielsmann, and Hosseini, from the old guard. I will say Behramand wasn't that impressive in this tournament, apart from like the penalty saves. But and also I've seen some clips in the league. He's made some pretty blinding mistakes. I do want to see some level of rotation with the goalkeeping position personally. And I think having a new addition doesn't sort of add anything bad to this. But what do you think, Arya?
Look, for me, yeah, the goalkeeping position right now in Iran is a big problem. I think, you know, with Niazman, he's made some big mistakes, especially in recent games for Sepahan, for Persepolis. Behramand's made some really big howlers. Hosseini has actually been the most reliable out of the three when you look at his performances in Esteghlal. But I still don't think that I can rely on him as a goalkeeper. When you look at him, you know, his whole career, I don't think he's been the most consistent goalkeeper in the world. I think with the addition of Arsha Shakuri, 17 years old, he had some good performances for the U17 national team. You know, he's 17 years old. He's made zero appearances in the Persian Gulf Pro League. He's in the same team as Alireza Hariri. I believe it's Havadar he plays for. It's like, for me, I don't mind him being in the team. I think it's a good idea to bring in a young player, but it just seems like he's just done it to shut people up, essentially. You know, like, I understand you want to bring in young players, but if you're going to bring in a young goalkeeper, we have young goalkeepers who have done well, like in the Persian Gulf Pro League, Payam Parsa, for example. Jafar Poor plays for Shamsi Oza. You know, we have decent young goalkeepers who are doing okay, who are doing not amazingly, but they're doing a good job. I don't see how you bring in a guy who's had zero caps or zero even appearances at pro level. He's not played any professional football. He's only played youth football. So I don't get how you can just bring him into a national team. You know, he needs to go through the stages. I don't know if you guys agree with that. I think Arsha's a good goalkeeper. I do think he's a good keeper, but I think it's far too early to bring him in. You know, there are people who are ahead of him, you know, who probably deserved it more.
Do you think it might be a case of the fact that he did get a lot of scrutiny, I'm talking about Kalanoi here, around the age profile of the squad before? People were saying it was too old, I think including us at certain times. Now, I don't know, I don't want to accuse him of anything, but when you bring in, say, a fourth choice goalkeeper who, let's face it, is not going to play, but it is 17 years old, it does, on the face of it, lower the average age, right? So like when you look at the data, when you look at the stats, like the average age does decrease because you have a 17-year-old on the team that, you know, is not going to play. So there's no risk for you as a manager, but it obviously makes him look more forward thinking. I don't know if that's maybe what he's done. I don't know. But that, you know, the question is there.
Yeah, as you say, he's ticking the box.
Mm. Yeah. Also, I know a question will probably come up in terms of Abedzadeh, because at one point he was a good rotational goalkeeper. So why is he not making this team, and why is he sort of out of favor?
Abedzadeh, I personally really rate this goalkeeper. He's an experienced one. As you say, he may deserve a call, but he doesn't get one. It's now, to win a tournament, you need a reliable goalkeeper. We've seen Behramand doing a few mistakes, and Jose Hosseini too recently. So yeah, it's not a position that right now I'm personally really confident. bringing on a 17 years old goalkeeper that never played in even in Iran Premier League won't solve the problem. I think he's just checking the young players picking box, and yeah, Abedzadeh could deserve a call, but would he be trusted? I don't think so. So if he just call him to not play him, I mean, it's better than to not call him at all.
Yeah, it's a long journey for him, obviously, playing in Portugal. Okay, so we talked about the goalkeepers. Let's talk about the centre-backs now. So the biggest one, I think, and then we were calling this for this, I think, in the previous squad was Hasbavi, who's coming in, which is a great addition, in my opinion. You've got Khalidzadeh and Kanani also in the squad, and then Fala. So are these the sort of centre-backs you guys were hoping for in this squad? I think Hasbavi was one that every Team Melli fan was sort of wanting. Ariel, what do you think?
Yeah. Hasbov is a good addition to the squad, and he should have been in the Asian Cup, no doubt about it. I think he got robbed of an Asian Cup this time around. He's back in. Fadlo is still there. Khalidzadeh and Kanani, I think, have only been selected because Majid Hossein is obviously injured, so I think they've just been brought in to kind of give us some experience to that back line. But I do think if you look at it from the players that we have available, I think RF Agassi, who plays for Traktor, teammate of Khalidzadeh, should have been called up. He's been performing better than Khalidzadeh at club level. So I don't see a 27-year-old defender who's done well, how he's not been called up. Kanani, similarly, hasn't been great this season for Persepolis. Wasn't particularly great at the Asian Cup either. So being 29 years old, I don't see a long career for him in the national team, but you know, it's okay. You know, the selection at centre back is fine. I would like to see Hasbavi and Fala actually start against Turkmenistan, considering they are young players who have played at youth national team level, and the opponent. I think it would be a great chance for them to start and show themselves, you know, at Ozzedi Stadium.
Yeah, I think Khalidzadeh, maybe his club form is not playing that well, but in terms of the Asian Cup, he actually really stood out for me. I thought he was actually a very good player. I don't know how it looked on TV, but when I was watching him live, he performed very well, in my opinion. What do you think, Daniel?
Well, I was quite surprised during the Asian Cup. Shoja Khalidzadeh played really well. In general, he did some mistakes, but he was much better and much more reliable. Sorry, than games before. We could say he was our best center back during this Asian Cup. Should we be worried about this? It's a good question to ask. But he was decent. He was decent. I really liked him. I wasn't rating him at all before the Asian Cup, but he proved us wrong during the tournament.
I thought, yeah, he had a good Asian Cup, for sure. But again, he is 34 years old, coming on 35. I don't see that being... I don't see him having a long career. Look, plus, I think, you know, especially with the way he's reacted after the Asian Cup, you know, the way he kind of, and I know he was provoked by media, you know, and you know, if you want to bring up the video, he got provoked by some media and he kind of fired back at them in a kind of really rash way. It just made him look really bad. I just don't like the way he goes about, you know, dealing with things like that. He's a very emotional player. Very emotional person in general. I think at his age, that kind of emotion, it isn't really what you want to see. But, you know, I think he is on his way out of the national team for sure.
I want to bring something up I think is relevant to talk about now. I think we have talked about age quite a lot in terms of, I guess, the Asian Cup and also going forward. I know national team is different to club football, but you get, I guess, like 29 for Kanani and then Khalidzadeh, like 33, 34, you just said. it's not that big of an issue, like compared to what it was sort of 10 years ago in terms of playing. Because if you look at like the top players, especially in the defensive and sort of goalkeeper standard, you've got, say, Pepe, who like bossed it in the Champions League recently, and he's like 40 years old. It's crazy. And then you've got like Kyle Walker, who's playing, he does play for England
Yeah,
and he
but
plays very well.
these are players who are playing at high level still.
But
You
this is
can't
what
talk
I'm
about.
saying. I'm saying, just saying, their age is the reason why they're not playing, I don't think is fair. It's the
Yeah.
professionalism that I think we're talking about, really.
Exactly. But I don't think Kaiser has a professionalism.
But okay, well, that's what we should really
That's what
talk
I'm
about.
saying.
That's what we
You know
should
what I
really
mean?
talk about. I think just saying age is the reason why they should be phased out, I think is unfair, given, Kyle Walker won the Champions League at the age of
Yeah.
33.
No, that's my point. I'm saying, I think the way he's reacted, the way he's been reacting over the last few years doesn't show me a guy who's 34 years old. It shows me a guy who's still in his 20s, from a mental standpoint. So I don't really take that as, oh, he's an experienced player. He's not a very experienced player. He's not played at a high level. He's been pretty much playing in Iran his full career. He played a season in Qatar, I think it was, maybe UAE. In Qatar, yeah, but that was it. He's not really an experienced footballer, he's not had a World Cup, other he didn't play any games in the World Cup. So for me, he isn't at that level when you
Yeah,
look at experience.
but the point I was making is that, yeah, like age, experience, maturity, like they can be pretty separate things, right? We sort of obviously lump them all together, but you have someone like Jude Bellingham plays for Real Madrid, a very young player, but he's probably more mature than all of our players, like regardless of age, right? Like he's a natural born leader. We saw him against Iran actually when he was playing for England. So I think a lot of fans on Twitter, especially, talk about age, the profile, a lot, and I don't think that's the sole solution. We have to talk about mature. I mean, we've talked about this a lot, to be fair,
Yeah,
in length.
I think one thing you can always, and Daniel, maybe you can chime in this. I think one thing you can take with age is with players like Kaiser, like when we did Ryan Mee, because they've been around for so long, they kind of get stuck in their ways. You can't really change that player. You can't really make him any better than he already is, because age does catch up with you. We can't ever hide away from age. But a player who's 21 years old, you can change him. You can form him into a bit. Like for instance, in this squad, you have a striker called Mohamed Azadi, who actually wasn't playing that well earlier on in his career when he was at Traktor, and I think he went to Greece at some point as well in his career. Didn't perform very well at the earliest, but now he's really doing well. This is why he's been selected. So if that was Mourinho is not going to improve anymore. So there is a difference there for sure.
Yeah. I just thought it was a good point to bring up in terms of I guess discussion. But yeah, let's move on to the fullbacks now. So yeah, five fullbacks been called up. Milad Mohammadi, who I thought actually surprised me at the Asian Cup. He did surprise me when he was sort of brought in. I think the biggest thing for these fullbacks is the rotation of Haj Safi, who after a long time is not being featured in the national team. I don't think it's much of a surprise. It's sort of he was not on his last legs. He gave a valiant like effort, but I think it's time to sort of go down some different options. What do you think, Daniel?
Well, I was quite surprised to not see him, seeing him in the list. He's the captain of the team, and he didn't announce any retirement. So it is quite strange, unless there is a physical issue. But I would have expected him to stay a few more camps for Team Melli and to have a proper farewell. He's been there since the 2011 Asian Cup. So yeah, he has a lot of caps for Iran. And yeah, I mean, he wasn't the first player I would drop from the squad, even if he's not he wasn't the youngest. But yeah, I was quite surprised.
Yeah, I think I was surprised that he wasn't called up. I think for sure. Because, you know, again, he made his debut back in 2008, you know, 142 caps. You know, he's a very experienced footballer. But I think on the flip side, he has actually called up good players to replace him. Obviously, Milad Mohammadi is now playing in Turkey. His teammates with Balotelli, he's doing really well actually in Turkey this season since the move to Adana, Demirspor. But also, he's called up Abolfaz Jalali, who was in the World Cup, did really well when he played against the US. Me and you, Sina, watched him against Uruguay. Thought he was really impressive that day. But he's also brought in Hossein Gudarzi, who he plays for Shams Ozar, who are a very young team, and he's been one of the kind of highlights of that team. He did really well for the U23 squad as well, national team. Very impressive left back, gets forward really well, really strong defensively. Can also play the centre back. He's tall. He's a guy who, you know, will make it difficult for Milad Mohammadi should he get given a chance to play this camp, because he is a very good player. I think a lot of Iranian fans will be quite impressed by him actually when he does get the shirt on. So yeah, I'm impressed, you know, that he's called up three decent left backs, Milad Mohammadi, Jalali and Gudarzi. All of them have a chance to play. I think Hoysafi, you know, again, Hoysafi is a good player, but I think you could say he is lacking pace. And, you know, there were times where you could definitely notice that. It was very evident that Milad Mohammadi was doing better than him in some of the Asian Cup games because of the pace that he has. So I'm not against the exclusion of Hoysafi.
I found it I personally found it very weird because, as I said, he's a leader of the team, one of the leader of the team. And looking at the list, you keep Shojo Khalilzadeh. So, you know, if you drop Ehsan Hoysafi, it's because you have the opportunity to start a new cycle. But you keep some of the older player still in the squad. And
that's a good point.
Yeah. Khalilzadeh wasn't someone that you can't drop. Like, he wasn't Seyed Jalal or Pejman Montazeri, like, you know, so reliable that you say, okay, he's a pillar of this team and I can't drop him. But Ehsan Hoysafi, you can keep him in the team. You have only four central midfielders, so he could have been a backup. I mean, even if he doesn't play, you just keep him and you can even have only three goalkeepers and keep your captain in the team, and just to ensure that the transition, the new cycle will go well. But dropping off your captain like he was just an average player is not a good signal, unless, of course, there is a physical issue. But I actually don't really rate this choice by Ralinoy.
It'll be an interesting one in terms of like how he lines this up, because he's brought it, as you said, he's got some older guard players like Khalilzadeh, Kanani, in the centre back position, and then on the full back position, he's got Ramin Rezaian and he's got Mohammadi. So it'd be interesting in terms of like what configuration that he uses. Does he go, you know, full out just new blood, or does he sort of just keep in line with the old? More reliable in his eyes, but just like do rotation and just sort of have them there in terms of just soaking up the atmosphere in the space. I don't really know what he's going to do in this instance.
Well, you look at the previous camps when he has brought in young players, you know, before the Asian Cup, he actually did bring in, to be fair, he did call up young players before the Asian Cup as well. You know, he had Hossein Nejad there, he had Arya Youssefi there. He had a couple of young players in the squad. It's not like he didn't call up any young players. It's just the fact he didn't play them. He never
That's my point. Yeah, yeah. You know, is he going to play them, or is he going to just have them there?
Never. I don't see why he wouldn't play them, because he's called up so many of them. He should definitely play a couple of them. But I don't know. I look at him. You will come on to. I look at the squad. I look at, you know, the number of players he's called up again for each position. I was kind of banging on about it a lot before the Asian Cup squad got, after the Asian Cup squad got announced. I was saying how numerically the squad was all over the place. He called up four midfielders and like six fullbacks, something like that. It was like a bit mental. But to you know, and this guy he's brought in seven wingers and only four midfielders, which again, it's like we need a couple of midfielders extra. You know, Nour Afkhan has only really come back from injury quite recently. Not a very impressive player, in my opinion. I don't really rate him that highly, but he's in. He's younger than Omid Ibrahimi. That's probably why the only. And obviously, he's got that beef with Mohamed Nourlahi, who has been in absolutely ridiculous form, by the way. And then Ali Karimi is also playing regularly in Turkey, but apparently there is this kind of rift between them two as well, between Galanoui and Ali Karimi. So those two aren't going to get called up anytime soon. So I can understand why he's brought in Nour Afkhan, and you know, obviously Mohamed Gorbani has just moved to Russia. But at the same time, you need more midfielders because you just brought in two guys who have barely played national team football or haven't played for a long time. You know, guys like Khoda Bandalu. You know, there's players like Haji Adi in the Persian Gulf Pro League who have done really well. They just not. I don't get why he's not brought in more midfielders, and he's brought in like seven wingers. For what reason? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second for sure. But Daniel, I guess like for the back four, like the defensive lineup, like who should he really be playing against Turkmenistan if we just talk about that now?
Well, I think it's an opportunity to start a new cycle. And against Turkmenistan, with all due respect, I think it's a good chance to start with something new. Our our center backs weren't reassuring these past few years. We had stability with Pourali Ganji, but unfortunately, with injuries, he's still struggling. So I would start Hasbovi and Fallo. I would go with something new. I think it's the moment to do it. Why keep playing Khalilzadeh would be, in my opinion, a mistake. And Kanoni can be very good, but it also can be very bad. So yeah, I would go with something new for the center backs.
Okay.
I think he's brought in Hardoni at right back, because obviously Hardoni, he's the only other option. Because I think with Youssefi being injured, with Muharami obviously being actually Muharami's back coming back from injury, I think he'll be back in the next couple of months. But with him being out, with Youssefi being out, there's no other option but to call up Hardoni. And then I actually think Ramin Rezaian was on his way out until Youssefi and Muharami got injured. I think he was going to do the same thing that he did with Hoysafi. I do believe that. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple of months Ramin Rezaian is dropped as well.
He had a pretty poor game. Yeah, maybe we'll have so.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
and maybe we'll have someone like Andars in a few months or years.
We will. Yeah, we will. I think we will. Good news coming up about him pretty soon.
Okay, let's talk about that midfield position that you were talking about then, Arya. So yeah, you got four sort of centre midfielders. You've got Ezatolai, Gorbani, Nour Afkhan. Nour Afkhan, I guess, can also rotate into right back position, I guess, as well. And then you got
left back. Yeah.
Left back. Okay.
He's left for it.
And then someone called us as well. So yeah, only four, which seems unusual, given he actually does like to rotate that position.
No, I agree. It's only four. As Arya said, why do we have seven wingers and only four central midfielders? It's not the position that we're the more safe. Of course, I love the Saïd and someone pairing in midfield, but apart from that, what are the other solutions? So, of course, someone like Hossein Ejad is injured, so we don't, so we can't call him up for this camp. But Omid Nour Afkhan, I have big doubts about like why he's in the squad. Did he prove anything? He was a prospect a few years ago, but he's not been confirming the all the potential that we saw in him, and he's not been proving more than another player to get him called up. Mohamed Gorbani is more of a prospect, so So I hope it will be a better addition, but yeah, big question marks on the two backups for Said and someone.
Yeah, it's strange when you see like the same number of goalkeepers called up than centre midfielders. Like it makes no sense. It's very, very strange. Yeah, what do you think, Ira?
Yeah, Gorban is a good addition. You know, again, he could have been in the Asian Cup squad. Even you know, he did really well for Sepahan before the move to Orenburg in Russia. He scored a goal there. No, I think he was always going to get selected. I think he is a good kind of substitute for Izatullahi. You know, kind of similar kind of player, tall, strong midfielder, can play in defense. So I'm glad that he's in, you know, because we needed a defensive midfielder, but we still don't have a combative kind of box to box player at this moment in time. Javal Hosseinjian can do that, but obviously he's injured. So, you know, the only other option would have been maybe Nurullahi, who again we just mentioned won't be selected because of the issues that he has with Galinoi. So I think Nur Afghan has played at left back for quite a few seasons. Now he's playing in midfield for Sepahan in the last few months. For me, he's a guy who doesn't really stand out to me. Like, I don't really see anything special in Nur Afghan where it's like, you know, whoa, this guy can do something. For no, I just don't see it. You know, he was in, I remember when he was at Charleroi in Belgium, never really impressed. Didn't even get a really chance to get in the team. So I don't really think, I can see why he selected him, because you want to bring in young players. You know, Omid De Bruyne is out now. Cheshmi had a kind of a poor Asian Cup. So I can see why he selected him, but I don't think it's the right choice. I think there's other players you could have brought in. The Khoda Bandilu, I think, should have been in the squad, personally speaking. But it's not happened. So yeah, you know, numerically disappointing with only four, but I think someone inside will play.
It's funny because at the end of during press conferences, Hollinger is always talking about numbers and statistics, but for squad list, he's always having strange choices with the numbers.
It is very true. All right, let's talk about the wingers, who are, I guess, our most abundant position. What was that?
I was just saying football, Diga.
Yeah, that is very true. So, okay, the most abundant position is, the wingers. So you have Khalilzadeh, who didn't feature too much in the Asian Cup, so it'll be interesting to see if he features at all during these qualifiers. Jambash, who is our like new captain, I guess, given that Ehsan Hojsafi is out of the squad, and Sari Farid as well also. Sayed Manesh, who has made a return to the squad after a long-standing injury. He moved away from Hull recently as well. Let's talk about that for a second, actually. Arya, you're the best person to talk about this. So he's come back from injury, featuring for his club and making a return back to the national team. Do you think he'll play at all?
You know, I think Alayar, he needed a revival in his career. He's going to Westerlo in Belgium. Hasn't scored a goal yet. You know, he's not been as impressive as he maybe wants to have been. You know, it's a difficult league to play in with the way. I think a lot of the pitches there are also like AstroTurf as well, so it's a big difference between Championship and the Belgian League. But you know, he has to really impress, I think, in the next few months. I'm glad he's selected, because I think he's a good player. I think he has quality, but is he going to start? I don't see it at this moment in time, with Mohebi playing quite well now, for Rostov, and Khoiz are the, you know, Jahan Bakhsh is injured, so maybe he gets a chance to play if he can't play Jahan Bakhsh. But then you got Torabi, who's been in good form as well for Persepolis, and Gaidi, you know. So it's like, I feel really bad for this kid, Mehdi Limouchi, who is good, but at the same time, you've called up like so many wingers that I just don't get it. Like, in my head, it just makes no sense to bring a young winger you must feel a little bit like, what is the point of me even being here? Because I'm never going to get a chance to play, you know? So
I guess on paper, though, if you are to think about it, they are our strongest position, like in terms of just as in our strongest position is wing. If you take out like Osmond and Taremi, of course, but we have the most depth in the winger position.
We have the most depth, but I don't think you have to call them all up. I think the ones he's got, Limucci shouldn't have been there. He's a good player, but he doesn't need to be there. It's a bit useless to have him in. You could have just put another midfielder in. It just makes zero sense to me.
But what I will say is that Limucci is the only name that you could have maybe rotated out for a central midfielder. If you took out, maybe Sayed Manesh, but if you took out any other one, there'll be question marks raised.
Yeah, or maybe one of the strikers, you know, potentially. I think there's also five strikers as well, which is, again, quite a lot of strikers.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the striker situation then. So you have, I guess, the biggest one, as I was saying. Ansari Fahd is out of the squad, who is another one of our leaders. So you have Taremi and Osmond still there. Azadi, of course, that you mentioned, Aria. But then the other two call-ups, I really don't see them sort of playing, given the Taremi and Osmond. Taremi hasn't played too much for Porto, actually. He came on against Arsenal, didn't really touch the ball much. But yeah, what do you think about the striker situation, Daniel?
Well, we have Taremi and Osmond, our two best players, and then we have newcomers in the squad. Ansari Fahd situation, yeah, it's for me, it's like the Hajj Safi one. He's been in playing in Team Italy for a few years now, since 2011 Asian Cup, and he's not been called up right now. He's a leader of the team, so I think that even if he's not playing, you can call him and not call someone like Torabi, for example, that will not progress and be even a substitute during games. At least bringing on a leader gives something to the squad. And but it's good to see new players that if they play, because the goal will be to try and to see if they are team early level, that they can bring something to the team. But yeah, let's see how they'll do. I don't see them starting, but maybe we could we can have a surprise.
Yeah, I think with Sahar, he's been one of the kind of standout strikers in the Persian Gulf Pro League. Young player, I think he scored 5 goals this season. He looks impressive. Mohamed Azadi, I think he scored 4 or 5 goals in the Asian Champions League this season. Another 5 goals in the Persian Gulf Pro League, something like that. So, you know, again, another talented player. I mentioned before, I think he had a tough start to his career, but he's really improved. And then the other one is, I think it's Javadet Agayipour, who I think he's got 5 goals this season. Again, for Esteghlal Khuzestan, he's done well. He looks impressive. You know, it's still to be seen whether they can make a step forward and really go and start over Taremi and Osmond. It's not going to happen at this point. I would have liked to have seen a recent interview that we did with Kaveh Zahirul Islam, playing in Belgium. Scored a goal this past weekend, 6 goals in all competitions. You know, I think he can be a player that we can look at, you know, as a striker option, you know, to rotate with Osmond and Taremi. But the ones he's called up, you know, we'll see what happens. So it's good to see at least we don't have Reza Asadi and Mohan Lu in the squad. They did not look pretty, like, they just looked way off it. I mean, I don't really care how many goals they've scored in the domestic league. They just looked awful. Like, they gave us zero emphasis to go and score a goal. Like, I don't see how they score that many goals in the Persian Gulf Pro League. Put it that way. I just don't see it. Like, they must have really bad defenders out there if they've been scoring goals. You know what I mean? So.
Hmm. They didn't really do much at the Asian Cup, but again, like they didn't get much many minutes, to be fair to them. And when they did, it was like very high pressure
We should also
environment.
mention there's also Shahab Zahid. He's just moved to Japan. You know, he's I think he scored about five, six goals as well this season. We'll see how he gets on. And also, sorry, and also, sorry, there's Ali Poor as well. Ali Poor just come back from injury, so you know, next couple of months, well, these players might get introduced again.
All right, cool. So I guess the only question to ask now is, given that we're playing Turkmenistan on the 21st, these are both World Cup qualifiers. So first 21st and then the 26th, and that's away from home. I guess the home game, how would you want us to be lining up? Ari, I'll go to you first.
I would like to see, as we mentioned before, I want to see Falloh and Haizbovi start this game. I think it would be a good chance for them to really show themselves. We don't need to see Kanoni and Chiesa play again. I mean, I don't really want to watch them play again, but I'd rather watch new centre backs play. I would like to see Salman and Saïd play together again. Unfortunately for Salman, he hasn't played a lot of football since the Asian Cup. It's just that was inevitable. Once he went away from the national team, he was going to lose his
They
place.
also signed Reguilón as well, so it's like more depth in that sort of fullback position.
So yeah, you know, but I still want to see him play for the national team regularly. And then, I think Taremi is still injured. I think he kind of no, he's not injured. Sorry, I think he had an issue with the coach. They actually dropped him from the squad recently, so I don't know what's happening with him. But I still think he should still start. And then out wide, I'd like to see Khoirizade and Ghoiredi start out wide.
Daniel?
And what about the fullbacks, Arya?
Yeah, I'd want to see Milad Mohammadi and Hardoni.
Okay. No, I would go with the same squad. I think I don't know who you mentioned as a goalkeeper. I would go with Njosman. I would like to see a change in the goalkeeper position. Then Haizbovi Fallah, of course. That would be great. Milad Mohammadi on the left, Hardoni, and yeah, pretty much the same for me for the rest of the squad.
Personally, I would not start Niazman. I can, you know, the thing about Niazman is I think Niazman, it's a shame because like he has everything. He has the height, he has the frame, he has it kind of everything to be a good goalie, but he's never really proven it. I don't think, you know, when he was at Portugal, didn't really have a good time in Portugal, Portimonense. He's not having a good season for Sepon. I kind of just feel like he's been a real disappointment, really. Neil's mind or not. It's quite unfortunate, I'd say.
Did you guys put as wingers? I didn't catch it.
I'd put Guedes and Guardiola as wingers personally.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I'd agree with both of you actually. Okay, cool. I guess that's everything. Any fan questions, Arya?
Had a lot of fan questions, but I was looking through it. We kind of answered quite a lot of them. So yeah, I don't think there's much we can go off of.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, I guess I'll wrap up the podcast there. All right, cool. Thank you so much for watching, guys, this episode. Thank you so much, Aria and Dino, for joining me. We'll be doing a Twitter space before the game, as per usual, on the 21st and also for the 26th. And yeah, thank you so much for watching again, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Pisha pish noruzu tabrik miyim.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Tabrik, tabrik. İnşallah ki amigi. Nuruzu kuvvet açtı.
Islam, and I'm playing for Sint Truiden in the Belgian Pro League, and you're listening to Gold Bazan Podcast.